Professor Mark Hennigan is with us from the Faculty of Law at Auckland Uni. Now, representing yourself in family court is the focus of our court. More people are being forced to rep themselves, and we want to know how this might affect proceedings and outcomes. Professor Mark Hennigan's with us today. Mark, tēnā koe, ko dai o tēnei. Thank you for joining us on the program today, Mark.
Lovely to hear your voice.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for joining us. Well, what's the background to this? So why is it that more people find that it's better for them to represent themselves in family court rather than the normal situation, which would see them engaging counsel? So what can you tell us about the situation, Mark?
Thank you. I'm glad you asked about the background, Dale. The background goes back to 2014 when the National Government, actually I think it was Judith Collins who was leading this, that they took the view that family court proceedings are a private matter. The state shouldn't be supporting people as much as it had been in the past with regard to family court matters. And they made the law such that, for example, legal aid lawyers can only give advice for 4 hours. There were many of the cases involving tamariki and situations over children, and they said that lawyers shouldn't be appearing in court for those if there wasn't a big issue. And so there was a real kind of argument that lawyers were part of the problem in terms of why people fight in court. Family court lawyers, judges, everyone said this is a bad idea. So what it meant was a whole lot of lawyers who did do kind of legal aid work kind of was no longer really much opportunity. There were still some brave lawyers who still did it, but there weren't much. And I think then we had COVID, which things have got behind, so there's more cases going through. So there's just less lawyers to do it. So the reason why people are acting for themselves in court primarily is there's just not enough family lawyers who do legal aid work anymore, because it was kind of knocked on the head by those reforms. There are still a few, and I think God bless them, because thank God that they do, but there are far less doing it. So that means that when people want to get a lawyer on legal aid, and a lot of people do need legal aid because court proceedings are very expensive, then they can't get it. So they end up saying, I'll represent myself. And it's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, court processes are complex. I know the judges do their best to try and help them through it, but they're not always able to kind of understand the process, the rules of evidence, all those things are necessary. So it's a sad situation. And I know the legal aid lawyers are run off their feet because of the backlog after COVID. There's not enough of them. And really other lawyers say, I can't afford to do it because the rates are low. The rates have been increased recently, but they hadn't been increased for about 25 years. So they're still well behind. So a lot of lawyers say, look, I can't afford to do it, which really, if we shed it around every law firm in the country, we probably would have enough lawyers, but a lot of firms just don't do legal aid work at all. So only a small number do, and much smaller number than did it before 2014. So that's sort of the background, Dale, which is really hard on people who have, you know, really important issues they want to resolve. They can't, you know, there's a difference of opinion. They want someone to act for them and to do it professionally and to do it properly. And I've always been of the view that family law is a public good. You know, basically, if people can sort out their family issues in a way that they're supported, in a way that all the issues are put before the court, in a way they go away feeling they've been heard properly and the lawyer's done a good job for them, they perhaps go away and get on and do well. But if they have to do it themselves and things don't work out, it just leaves a kind of a hole. And that family's been kind of abandoned by the state in some ways, which is very sad.
I'm guessing, as is the case in all of our court system, that Māori have heavy representation. I'm assuming it would be the same in the family court proceedings. It's a high-stakes game because of what's at stake here. And we've all been led to believe, beware of bush lawyers and bush carpenters, haven't we, Mark, across the years? What are the pros and cons of self-representation, Mark?
Well, I mean, the pros are, if you can't get a lawyer, if there's no legal aid lawyer available and you need to be in the court, then there aren't many other options. I mean, some people do bring along a friend. There's a thing called the McKenzie friend where they can have someone sitting supporting them. The person can't be their lawyer if they're not trained as a lawyer, but they can sit and support them, and that can sometimes be helpful. So I think it's a tough game. I mean, some people I know of, some who have done it. I know of for example, a Māori woman who's been Sarah Sparks, who had to fight a lot over her property, and she became a active for herself, and I gave lots of help and advice, and over 9-10 years she became pretty good at it, actually. But it's something you have to learn over time, and people don't have the time to learn it when they first go to court. They just got to go in and do the best they can. So So the cons are that basically the judge will help. The judge wants it to be as fair as it can be, so the judge will help. And sometimes the court does appoint, which I think is helpful, a lawyer to assist, which means that's a lawyer they can have who can assist them with the process, explain things to them, help them through the process. So that can be quite helpful for people to do it. But as you said before, Dale, very wisely, it is hard when you haven't done it before. It's also hard when you're in a really emotional state, so you're not kind of able to stand back and see the issues. You just really see what's going on in your life. With a lawyer, they've got to stand back and look at the whole picture, which makes it easier for them to be able to do the things at the appropriate time. Very hard when you're in the gun yourself. It'd be like saying you have to build your own house by next year and you've never started building a house. It'd be damn hard to do unless you had lots of support and lots of help. So it is a failure of the system, and I hear the Breton Law Society's people saying, well, there should be more legal aid lawyers, but many firms just don't offer it. And I think, you know, with the shortage we have now, I think there needs to be a press from the legal profession to say, well, we're going to have some legal aid work through our firms that will, in a sense, sponsor, because basically it doesn't get the rates they normally get. But on the other hand, I think we shouldn't leave people out like this. I mean, the system has failed because of what the changes were. And I think the legal profession needs to stand up and say, we'll fill in the gaps until we get the system working again, because it really is tough for people. I really feel for people acting for themselves.
So what should happen here? The laws that came into effect in 2014, do they need to be tweaked?
Well, they have changed. They have changed, but it took a fair while. Andrew Little was the Minister of Justice when the new government came in. It did take a while to change it, and they did change it eventually, but then COVID hit. So the combination of it being changed, allowing lawyers to be in court, and there has been an increase to the amount by about 10 or 12% that legal aid lawyers can get. But the problem is, from that 2014 till the changes, which were around about 2019, 2020, there's a whole gap of legal aid lawyers who kind of put out of the system, and now we're kind of short of them. So, you know, you lose that whole cohort of people who did do legal aid. It's been taken away, and so it's got to build again. And that way, I think the profession have to rebuild the legal aid lawyers, and that's where the gap has happened. And COVID's sort of exacerbated, I think, Dale, because what's happened in COVID is that many cases have backed up, and so the court has really overloaded, and lawyers are all flat out. Legal aid lawyers are running in 15 directions trying to keep on top of it, and you don't want your people to be burnt out, but a lot of family lawyers are working really long hours to try and get through the case, and there just aren't enough of them. So that's where the problem has happened.
A lot of people would feel like legal aid representation is a default position. Also, I'm curious as well, Mark, about the family law court judges. Have they expressed frustration at what we're seeing as a growing trend of people representing themselves in the family court? And the other issue, I think, is often there's a cultural report in other courts that are factored into sentencing. And I'm wondering whether a cultural dimension is also factored into the findings in the family law court, and whether those representing themselves are aware of its importance. A number of sort of issues there. Perhaps you might touch on one or two of those, please, Mark.
I can go through those, Dale. Yeah, the family court judges are frustrated because it does slow down proceedings. It makes proceedings more difficult to get through, because people, you know, have to be helped through those processes. And with regard to the cultural issues, I think they're really, really important. In 2019, there was a wonderful review done, carried out, and it was a really excellent review by three people who did a fantastic job. And what they found was that the family court wasn't really a welcome place. Maori people didn't feel comfortable in the family court. They didn't feel they were understood. They didn't feel there was a cultural dimension, enough of a cultural dimension to the court. They really felt kind of it was a place that they felt, in many ways, alienated from. And that adds to the problem. If you try to represent yourself, it makes it even more difficult. So what the Labor government did do, and that has made some changes, and they're superb judges, they did appoint, I think it was about 12 or 14 judges of Maori descent to the family court, and they have been outstanding. And they've made big differences already. There's some outstanding judges there who have kind of made the court aware that the Maori view of whānau and family is different, and emphasise has different emphases. And so that has really started to turn the tide around for Maori people to feel more comfortable in the court. There is provision in all the legislation, Dale, which hadn't been used much up until we have had the Maori judges, for cultural reports to be given to the court, so the court fully understand the circumstances of the particular whānau that's before the court, and that's being used more often. That's a good thing about what's happening in the court, because people should feel comfortable. They should feel the judge can speak te reo to them. They should feel that the judge understands them and understands what's happening in their particular family. So I think that's a good thing, I think. We just need more lawyers to be doing the legal aid work to get the system working as good as possible. I think the intentions are right, but we need more. And I think there should be another wave of judges of Maori descent, because I think it's really important that dimension is there for people and they feel comfortable. So there have been some good things happening. And from about after that report in 2019, which took a while to get into place, then COVID kind of threw things out because lots of cases were put to one side. And of course, as you rightly said and very wisely said, Dale, these matters are so important. Andrew Beecroft, Commissioner of Children, always said if we don't get family court issues sorted out right with regard to where children should live, who they should have contact, and all those sort of issues, we can end up with difficult problems down the road. We end up in the Ngurunga Tamariki Act, and there are difficulties with children. They may be removed from their family, which is the worst thing we can do for Tamariki.
Thank you, Mark, for sharing some perspectives about it and giving us fuel for thought. All the best to you and yours. Ngā mihi nui kia koe, te runga tira. Thank you, Mark.
Kia ora, thank you, Dale.
Thank you. Mark Hennigan, a law professor at Auckland Uni.